First John chapter 2, and I'm calling this the power of light. Up to this point, John has been talking about the light, and I've given you before an outline, and you'll see it up here. The first two chapters, he's talking about the light. Then he talks about the love, and he talks about the life. If you'll just switch, somebody switch that to the next one. Those are the, that's the breakdown for that. So while we're still in the light, we're coming to the end of chapter 2, and you got to realize at this point, John's 100 years old, okay? So he's trying to, we saw in the first chapter where he's trying to help them with the Gnostics, when we talked about Gnostic is toxic, because those were people who were going back and they're putting in a little bit of the law back into it and saying, well, probably need to be circumcised to make it, and they were mixing it. Well, now he's going to come in, and he's been talking about the light, but what he's going to talk about at the end of this chapter is darkness. And he's wanting everybody, he shared clearly in chapter 1 that he was wanting people to walk in the fellowship of Jesus. So get this, he's 100 years old, and he still has the same fellowship with Jesus because he recognizes he's real. And so he's really trying to encourage, but now things have taken a little turn. And now there's something called Docetism, D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. Not just Gnostics, but now he's got another group. And this group are people who are trying to say that Jesus was more like an apparition or a spirit. He really didn't come in the flesh. He really didn't suffer in the flesh. He was just a manifestation. That's who he was. And so he's coming in. He's going to talk to us in this chapter about false teachers. And we'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to know, God is not just to believe in, but we've got to believe like him. Because in the last days, and you're seeing it already, people are, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. It's one thing to say you believe in God, but what is God to you? Because some of them are out howling at the moon, and some of them are, you know, when we lived in California, man, they came down and they worshiped the ocean once every full moon, you know. So you have to be careful. You have to know who people say. And this is the kind of thing that John's trying to save them from, because when you get that kind of toxic teaching, it separates your relationship. Let's just say that, you know, Shannon and I are great friends. And all of a sudden, which we are, and somebody comes in, they say, oh, Shannon, you better look out for Gay because, you know, she's a great person, but boy, she can turn on you like that. So what would happen in our relationship? Hey, Linda. Shannon would probably come in and now be a little more cautious, right? Put the guard up to make sure. And that's what John's saying. When you get these kind of mixed teachings about who you love and your Savior who loves you, you're more tentative with your fellowship and you aren't as open to him. So he's coming in and he's teaching them that. So we're going to start on page 862. And we're going to read, I'm going to read to you verse 18 through the end of the chapter. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you have an anointing. Now, I've already talked about this, about how we need to stay in our anointing. Do you remember that message? And the reason I want to say that to you is because Steve told me that he enjoyed that message as well. So April the 8th, I'm going to reteach that message on a Sunday morning. But you know, whenever you go to reteach something, it always takes a different turn. So already the Lord has shown me something. But it's important, guys, that we stay in our anointing. And this is what he's saying. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. All of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who's the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. Now, You should mark in your Bibles verse 22 and 23, and I'll explain to you why later. But it says, such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one denies the Father, the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. That's important. You'll know why in a little bit. See that what you've heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. I'm now writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has brought you to remain in Him. Now, the anointing, really for us today, an easy way to explain that would be the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is in you, and when He says, you know these things, really what that means is, if somebody ever said to you, hey, let's go do this, and you're like, ooh, probably not a good idea. You ever done that? I think that's a universal yes. Well, that is the Holy Spirit. That's your anointing saying, you know. And here's the thing. I've learned that for people who have known the Lord longer, and by known, I don't just mean got a certificate, they were saved. I mean who have a living relationship with Him. There's a little phrase that has always stuck with me that my pastor told me when I was in my teens, and it's this: others may, but you can't. Because there's some things when you walk with the Lord that other people are allowed to do, but you might feel something a little more like, eh, no. And you know what? Respect the no, okay? Because He's wanting you to grow. So here's John, 100 years old. Man, he's standing in fellowship. Now he's talking to us about darkness. So John is the only writer in the New Testament. The only time you're going to hear the word Antichrist is from John. How many books did John write? How many books did John write? Thank you. Let's name them. There was the Gospel of John. There's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Okay, so those 5 books. Now, he also quotes in Revelation 13, 16, and 19. He's going to talk about the Antichrist. And tonight I'm going to take a little time to break that down for you. Okay, because what he's talking about, I want you to understand this part of the message especially. There's a danger of darkness. Every time, guys, the enemy's going to try to snuff out the light, the love, and the life that Jesus has planted in you. That's the goal. Why? Because darkness can't hide in the light, okay? Ever have those motion detectors around your house, and if a critter or somebody was going, you know, it comes on and then they run, right? Because they don't want to be exposed. Well, this is what's happening. In 1 John 1, 3, and 4, he says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. That's part of being a part of the kingdom. So here we are. He's coming in. And why, guys, why do you think it's important that we talk about the darkness? Anybody?
Because we all had to go through it. We're all going through it.
Because we all can go through it. A little louder. Because we're the ones who are the light. That's right. It's important to know about the darkness just like this. When your children are little, do you say to them, oh, we just love you and everybody on earth is going to love you and whoever wants to love you, you just let them go ahead and do that. Is that what you do? No. You teach them, hey, there's things called strangers. You know, now they have that stranger danger and they scream or whatever. When we told Charity about strangers, we said in the car when she was little, we're like, okay, Charity, now what's going to happen if somebody you don't know who's a stranger comes up to you and asks you for candy, going to give you candy, what do you say? And she goes, please and thank you. And we're like, no, wrong lesson. You say no if you don't know them. If you know them, that's different. Because every little woman at church had opened her purse to her and given her candy, and I thought she had never had sugar. Come to find out they were all laughing at me behind my back. But you would do that, right? Because you want them to know. And this is what he's telling you. Now remember, he said, the Gnostics are the people who've now mixed the law and religious acts with the good news. But now he's talking about Docetism, okay? And that is people who are now coming in. They're saying that Jesus was just a spirit. Guys, this is so important. You're going to learn this with all cults. This is a question you can ask all cults. Is Jesus God? If they're a cult, they're going to come in and they're going to tone it down. Oh, he was a good man. Oh, Jesus was a good man. Oh, I believe he was a prophet. Yes, he was a prophet. Oh, yes, and you know, he just did such good things. And we believe he was sent by God, we believe. But they will never put him as God. You know, like Watchtower, he ain't Jehovah, okay? Watchtower people. And so when you get to the Mormons, when you get to Jehovah's Witness, when you get to a lot of even faith-based teaching, it's because they don't recognize that Jesus is God, that God was one with him. So here's some things we're going to learn about the Antichrist through this. Not only was he the only New Testament writer to use the word Antichrist, but let's think about what Antichrist means. Anybody in here ever use antifreeze? What's the purpose of antifreeze? Keeps it from overheating, protects it from freezing.
Water in the radiator, so it won't bust.
Okay, I'm with you. So really what antifreeze, let's break it down, it means it's something that works against freezing. It's working against it. So Antichrist would mean what? Something that's working against Christ. Now, help me think about this for a minute, because the first thing he talks about is about that the Antichrist, he has three things, they're on your notes. The Antichrist is going to come as a person. So now you're going to be able to put a face with evil. Don't y'all go out here and start trying to figure this out, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, I believe he's here. I don't know if he's a baby or if he's full grown or what. That's just me. The way I see things going so fast, it's hard for me to not imagine that he's not. But that's just me. But we're going to be able to put a face with it. So don't go out of here trying to figure out who it is. You know, I remember Henry Kissinger, they had some, you know, number system where they'd figured out Kissinger meant Antichrist if you did some kind of code. You know, and then Obama's the Antichrist, and now Trump's just, you know, he's the devil, so we don't know who's who, right? People, don't put a name, but that's going to happen, okay? But we know from Daniel 9, 26, 27, and from Jesus reiterating that in Matthew 24, 15, that this person is going to come, and he's going to be a world dictator, and the devil is actually going to give him his authority and his power, because you know, as we've studied in Genesis already, that Adam and Eve relinquished that power to the enemy where they owned, they had the dominion, they gave that over to the enemy, okay? So we've studied in Revelations as the seals are open and the seventh one, which is legally binding, when that one's open, that's going to come back. The ownership comes back to Jesus. But hey, let's just think for a minute. If he's a person and he's coming, what is it that you believe is holding back the Antichrist? Anybody have an idea? What do you think's holding back the Antichrist?
God says it's not time yet.
Well, now that's just bringing it home right there. Anybody else? We know that he's waiting to build up the kingdom. Ida? Okay. Here's the thing. I'd like for you to consider this. On page 838 in your pew Bible, if you have it, we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to read verses 5 through 12. It says, 2 Thessalonians, it's on page 838 in your pew Bible. Don't you remember that when I was with you, this is Paul talking, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness, which he's talking about the Antichrist, is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow, oh, this is so good, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy it by the splendor of his coming. Ooh, that's really good. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe in the lie and so that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. So here's the thing. The Antichrist is not coming back until this word that lots of people like to argue over, the rapture. When the rapture takes place, and the rapture is when those of us who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we believe in him and that we can only be saved through him by faith and believing that, right? We're going to be taken out. When we're taken out, that's what he's saying. When he comes, when he takes us out, we're all that's the church is all that's holding back the Antichrist. Now, you think about where we are in times today, because people are talking about their religious fanatics, right? What would you say a fanatic is? You know, I think Josh Zapata is a cowboy fanatic. Like, he just... Dude, he is just all over it. He will argue with you over the Cowboys. If they are losing, in his mind, he really believes they've had a winning season. He's a fanatic. All right? Religious fanatics are really people who'd be willing to die for what they believe. You know, you've heard of Islamic fanatics and Muslim fanatics, and they believe that if they die and kill people that are, you know, perverts or I can't think of the right word now, but... that they'll be actually exalted into heaven by killing these reprobates, these infidels and reprobates, yes, these people that they have a list of what's wrong with them. Well, I will admit to you, I am a religious fanatic. I believe I'm willing to die. I don't know what I'd do besides, you know, have an embarrassing bathroom moment on myself if somebody really came up to kill me, but I really would like to believe in my heart that I would not deny Jesus. I'd really like to believe that. So because I'm telling you that, yes, I can be a religious fanatic, but the world is using it more and more, but they're only using it against the Christian community. And it's because they want us to tolerate. They want us to embrace all teachings. So here he's telling us, he's saying the Antichrist is going to be a person, but don't worry, he can't come until we're out. Because the love and the life and the light of Jesus is holding back that darkness. Because you know from your text tonight on your paper and on the overhead, out of 1 John 5, he says, in him there is no darkness at all. And that just doesn't mean that evil isn't going to be there. That means that you can count on him to be a good God. That means that the first thing you need to do is give him the benefit that he's not putting you through your paces just to see how much you can take before he decides if you're worthy. He is a good God, and we need to believe in him and know and give him not the benefit of what the world says, but what the Word says about him, that not is he just faithful, but guys, he's taking care of uber, super, minute, teeny, tiny, tiny details of all of our lives because he's good. So he comes in, and now he also says, and we'll see this in chapter 4, verse 3. So if you want to turn over in John 1, chapter 4, verse 3, if you kept your finger in your other place and you want to look at that, He comes in now and he's talking about the Antichrist as a spirit, okay? And that's on page 863 in your pew Bibles if you want to turn there quickly. Now I want you to help me out. Think of some people in history that you can say, man, they had the spirit of Antichrist, that tormenting evil were on them. Now we know from Old Testament teaching that really Saul at one time had that. He was tormented. He had that on him. And he wanted to do evil to God's anointed. Can you think, not just from the Bible, but can you think of from our teaching that we've been studying in history or something you learned in school, who was someone else?
Hitler.
Yes, because he wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. I mean, that is so class. That's like evil 101, right? Anybody else? Can you think of anyone else? Haman. That's good, Annette. That was my grogger. Yeah. Yeah, Haman. He wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. Anybody else? Can you think?
That one in Korea, the one that Trump's having a fight with now, he's going to make bombs.
Okay.
Trump calls him some name.
Mussolini, Stalin. Do you realize that Stalin, and I've taught this before on Wednesday night, his father was actually a Jew. And because his father had bad practices and was dishonest to what he had been taught, it warped his thinking. And Stalin actually had them build statues of him because he believed he could be Christ. Do you know that Stalin killed 18 million people? That's recorded, that many. It doesn't, I mean, that could be a whole lot more, but 18 million. And, you know, not just them, but you see these dictators in these other countries, Idi Amin or whoever, and they're just killing people, but they want their picture up, and they want you to praise them and, you know, don't come against them in any way. And we've had, you know, the Jim Jones and the whoever, even in the name of Jesus. Guys, this is what John's trying to save us some heartache from, because there is a spirit that attaches, and Paul told us in Thessalonians that it's because they're deceived because they won't believe the truth. Okay? So here we are. Now he says in verse 18 of chapter 2, he comes in and he's talking about the antichrists, and it's plural. Okay? So some people go, what does that mean? Like, are there little minions running around now? No, he's talking about teachers. There are people who've been deceived, and they're teaching these things that are against what we know to be truth, okay? And this is where docetism comes in, D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. It's people who don't believe that Jesus was in the flesh. They believe that he was a spirit or just a figure, translucent, but that when he suffered on the cross, he wasn't in the flesh, okay? We'll get into that in just a minute. So here you need to see, we talked about the last time I spoke about diluting things and how, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you'd be smart to say, hey, don't give me but this much ice in my drink. Why? Because they're diluting down what you paid for, right? We talked about Starbucks, and you don't want a meat soak because that's mostly just milk. You want, like, dude, I'm paying for the same price. Give me some real stuff, right? This is what he's saying. They're people and they're diluting the truth. Now think about today and where we are. Oh, you know what? I don't understand why people are so mad at the Mormons. You know, they're good people. Hey, I can attest that Mormons are good people. I can attest to that. Leah hurt herself when we were in St. George, Utah, and we were traveling and we had to take her to the emergency room. And those people took care of her. We told her we were travelers. They said, you're travelers in our state. There's no charge. I mean, nobody ever came to get nothing from us. We walked out of there and it was like, wish that that's how we could be here, right? So, yes, I'm not saying they're not good people. But, guys, is it because of good works that you're going to get into heaven?
No.
Why are we going to heaven? because we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus was actually here in the Old Testament, foreshadowed that all things were created even with Jesus. And we believe that he's not just the Son of God, but he is a being. He is a part of God because he said, I and the Father are one. Now, anytime you want to take and test a cult, that's your question. Do you believe Jesus is God? And that scripture I had you underline in Thessalonians 22 and 23, you can take them right there because that's what the Word says. You can't deny it. Listen, I want to caution you. Don't go out thinking you're going to save people that are deceived. They're trained for an argument. They want an argument. And it just strokes our pride to think we know more and we can change somebody with an argument. How are we going to change the world? And not just St. Valentine's Day. That was your hint. Love. We're going to change the world by sharing the same love that God has given us with the world. So they're deluding. They talked about the paying the same price but getting less. And so verse 19, he says, here's three things. He teaches us in the end of this chapter how you're going to know a teacher who it has that spirit of the Antichrist. How many of you know that Yale and Princeton and Harvard were all Christian schools? Did you know that? They all began as Christian schools. And there was teaching that came in, and it was like, hey, let's take this out. This might be a little offensive. And where are we today? No God at all. The exact opposite. So here he comes in verse 19, and he says that what they do, this is how you know they're false teachers, they will depart from the fellowship. Okay? Don't go saying, oh, you know, so-and-so left Christian Center. They got the spirit of the Antichrist. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about they don't believe that they need to be a part of anybody. They can operate separately because they know the Word of God. They know more than you do. They're perfectly happy. He says, those who've departed from the fellowship. Why is that important?
Well, family, we're supposed to stay together as a team.
Not just that, June. That's true. That encourages us. That keeps us alive. When you're weak, that spirit of life comes in. But it's also, guys, because we won't go in error when we hear the Word. And how many of you will lift your hands and say, the message I heard on a Sunday morning is exactly what I was going through or what I needed? Anybody? See, that's what keeps us in line. And sometimes when we come and we pray and we fellowship, when men have Bible study or the ladies have Bible study here, there's things that you may have been taught that you kind of feel like you're getting a little correction. Oh, okay. Well, that, you know, hey, that makes sense. Now, I've always thought, but now I'm beginning to understand. So he says that in verse 20 and 25, he says that they're going to deny the faith. Well, you don't really need Jesus. Jesus was a good man. I'm going to give you that. But you don't really need all that Jesus stuff. You don't really need to think that you're anointed. What you really need to do is just be your best, be kind, because there's good in all people. Boy, that's a real teaching. And then we see in verse 26 through 29, he's saying that they will actually deceive the children of God. That's why you want your children to know the Word of God. That's why you and I need to be in tune with the Word of God. Because listen, there's some really good stuff coming across. And we may think, oh, well, you know, man, they're right. We should love all people. We should love all people. But we don't have to drink the Kool-Aid, all right? There's a difference. So the Antichrist is going to be who the real Antichrist is. It's a prophetic man. He's not here that we know of because we're still here, but he's a prophetic man. Verse 22 again says it makes the difference in the Father and the Son. So the question I told you to write down to ask is he God? Is Jesus God? If they vary from that, it's a cult, and it's nothing you want to be a part of. And be ready, because when you say, is he God, they're going to say, oh, he was the first begotten. Oh, you know, he was the Son of God. No, I'm asking you, is he God? Because any place we can weaken what we believe, that's a foothold. So if Jesus is not God, you know, people are like, well, you know, why do you care? Why is it important? Because really, what's the big deal, you know? Why do you care? If you recognize they're all good people, let's just all go on with what we're doing, and we'll just keep doing what we do and let them do what they do. Well, here's the difference, because it's not going to stop. Something is going to get perpetuated. And at the end of the day, here's the thing. I either believe that God laid down his life through Jesus, or I just believe that Jesus was a good man who died and it was just a good story. And I want you to know, I believe that God Almighty suffered at the hands of men through Jesus Christ. That there was a loss from heaven that he gave up. This is important to me, and I'm going to move on after this, because I hope I'm not confusing any of you. If you're confused, raise your hand and I'll try to explain it better. But here's the thing. If I don't believe that God gave up through Jesus, if I don't believe that, then what I really believe, and I can be deceived, that God's really mean. And there's no darkness in him. Well, you know, that'd be the same thing as this. Well, here's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're in heaven. And the Holy Spirit goes to God and says, hey, we need somebody to go down and be a sacrifice. Let's take a vote. Who should go? And the two of them go, Jesus, two against one, he's got to go. So if you believe that God is mean, wouldn't that be terrible that he wouldn't himself? Do you see what I'm saying? We've got to believe that they all in it together, suffering with us. Who is our intercessor? Who is believing for us? This is in cooperation with heaven, and you can't separate Jesus as not being God. Okay? So, we have some scriptures for that. Jesus says, I am the Father and one. Who has 1 Timothy 3:16? Read it loud and proud. So he comes in and he's saying, you can't just believe in good works. It's got to be through Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm the Father one. And then Paul told Timothy, this isn't just a doctrine. It's a mystery. It's a true thing. Now, people are going to try to say, well, you have a different doctrine or view. This isn't doctrinal. This is everything to us as believers in Jesus Christ. So who has 1 John 1:14? Okay, so we know that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now, here's the thing. God is not cruel, and he wasn't just using Jesus to reconcile the world for me and you personally, so he didn't have to. You know, when we've studied this and Steve's been doing this teaching, you know that God himself suffered through that. Having to realize the sin, he couldn't even look on his own son because of the sin from all the past, all the present, and all the future, what that did. And do you know that that is our good comfort, that because God experienced that through Jesus God, that he can relate to the pain of what sin does to us in a way that if we didn't recognize darkness, if we didn't have these teachings to understand what caused other people to hurt and to fall and to feel like they could never attain and to walk in guilt and shame, John's trying to tell you, stay in fellowship with Jesus and you're not going to have those problems. Who has 1 John 3:19 through 21?
Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God.
See, you know, some people go, well, how can this be? How can this be? We know the truth. How could this happen? Anybody in here ever know somebody that you just thought was like Christian of the decade? Like they were just so up there, and then they fell, and everybody knew about it, and so they ran from the things of God. Anybody in here, you know that? Listen, guys, we are all susceptible to sin because we live in this world. But this scripture is telling you that some people are going to be deceived because they want to be deceived. Oh, gay, I just can't even believe that. That just sounds so mean. I don't think anybody intentionally sets out to go sin today. But let me just tell you, the thought can be placed in you, even at a Christian workplace, from people, oh, you deserve a better spouse. Well, you know, we just need to pray for them. Boy, they sure don't treat you right. And seeds of doubt begin to be planted. And you respect those people. And all of a sudden, doubt has become, it's going to grow up. It's going to take root in your heart. And then instead of looking for the good things, you're looking for the bad. Oh, that's right. That seed just got watered, you know. And so here's the thing. Before you know it, somebody's using the scripture. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. Don't, because we all do it. Somebody will use the scripture to do what they want to do that's outside of what God says. So he's saying, this can happen. People can be deceived and actually follow the Antichrist. I'm watching our youth right now say, oh, we should just love everybody. We should just accept everybody. Guys, to me, this is what's so lethal and what's so toxic is, if you believe that you cannot be saved by works, if you truly believe that it's not your good deeds that are getting you into heaven, then we've got a problem with this teaching because not everybody's going to go to heaven. Are you with me? So I have to tell them. Who has 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2? So here's the thing. Your conscience is seared because you don't want to listen to that. After a point, you don't want to hear it. You don't want to do it. You want to go away with it. You want to keep doing what you're doing because you really enjoy it, and that's the path you want to take. And you want God to approve it. Now, this may sound mean, but I want to tell you something. I believe that John is telling us the truth so we won't fall in these pitfalls. And that's the part of a body that I just love. When people give their testimonies about what they've been through, when people share how they failed and absolutely gave up on God or turned their backs, when they give their testimony and they say, this was a dark time, I didn't listen, I didn't believe, I wouldn't. Guys, this is, to me, is such a beautiful representation of what brings glory to God, and it keeps you and me from making those mistakes. That's why I wanted my kids to know, here's what I got wrong. Here's where I paid for it. Look at my scars so you don't have them. Kids are still going to do stupid because we live in this world, and we are stupid at times because we're human, and we want what we want when we want it. But when you have a godly teaching, you want a stamp of approval from God to do it. And your conscience, he says, it gets seared with that hot iron. It's because after a while, you just want what you want so bad. If you're not recognizing what he's done for you and the price he's paid for you, that at any point, you can turn around and say, God, just help me. Help me. And guys, he'll start shutting doors that you opened and shouldn't have. He will help you out of these messes. But here's just such a beautiful thing about him. Now he comes back, and I want to talk to you about the power of light. I told you the first, God is not just to believe in him, but we need to believe like him, okay? Steve and I are married. We're one. We get in, and now we have to make a decision. We're making a decision about how late our kids can stay out at night. So I'm thinking, you know, what I could do for charity, I couldn't do for Jake, all right? They're different kids. But, you know, I'll be the bad one. I'll say, well, honey, you know, if it was 11 o'clock for charity when she's 16, it's going to be 11 o'clock for Jake. And so we war over who's right. Can we be in unity on that? Don't you think there'll be a little disagreement, a little hostility, that's what I'm telling you. It's not enough just to believe in God, but I've got to believe like him. I've got to believe that he's not a mean God. I've got to believe that he didn't just send Jesus to pay the penalty so he could stay in heaven and just enjoy the air conditioning. I believe that he was with through that. They were together in that. I need to believe that he's not going to leave me. I need to believe that he's the one who's looking to reconcile me. But John knew it. He lived it. He saw it with Peter. He saw it. He knew the goodness and the mercy of Jesus. And he's saying, you can be deceived. It's the people who don't think they can be deceived, guys, that are quickly deceived. Because we get confident in who we are and not in who he is. And that's what happened to Gnostics and other people. They began to believe that they knew the truth. They had what it was. They didn't have to believe everything. We're all good people, basically. Well, I'd like to believe that. But the Bible tells me differently. The Bible tells me that I was born in flesh, and it tells me that I need a Savior. And so I have to recognize that. The power of the light, I see that it does three things. The light keeps at bay, and it won't let me be deceived. It keeps the Antichrist at bay, but it also won't let me be deceived. If I'm walking in the light, you said yourself, there are times when somebody will say, let's do this, and you're like, and you put the brakes on. That is a godly blessing. That is the Holy Spirit. That is your anointing. That is like, boom, can't do it. If you want to do it, if that's okay with God, you go ahead, but I just can't. Guys, we should give each other that kind of mercy and grace to be able to do the things that they need to do, okay? You know, Steve tells you stories about him going in bars and witnessing and being with people and taking the heat for it. Well, I believed if I walked in a bar, I was probably going to, catch on fire. My mom had painted hell so hot to me. You can ask him, when we first got married, I'd never played a pinball machine because that was sin, right? You know, and I will never forget my sweet little mother when I was bringing her back from Memphis. We were coming through Mississippi, and there's this road you have to go through to get back to Arkansas and Mississippi, and there's these casinos there. Well, my mom was so sick after chemo, and there was no place to stop but these casinos, okay? That was it. So I was like, Mom, she's like, oh, okay, don't take me in there. Oh, dear Jesus. And she was like pleading the blood. I'm like, Mom, you're sick. We're going to have to stop. And this will be the cleanest, nicest restroom you've ever used. So she's like, oh, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. So I pulled up to the front, like, you know, where you're not supposed to pull, but I pulled all the way up to the front. And here's a guy dressed in this elaborate outfit. And I was like, sir, my mom is really sick. She's had chemo in Memphis. She needs a bathroom, and she's too weak to walk from that parking lot. Ma'am, you just park that car right here. You just leave that car right here. I was like, thank you. And Mother's like, oh, okay. And I was like, Mom, we'll just believe. We're just going to pray, and nothing's going to jump on us. We're going to go into here, and we're going to use the restroom. He's not had his ADD medicine yet today, but anyway. So we're walking through, and, you know, there's these lights and the noises, you know, and all this stuff. And my mother's like, oh, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. And she's trying to hide her eyes. And we go to the restroom. When we come out, that guy's standing there. He has a bottle of water for my mom. He's like, now I just want you to know, we're just so sorry you're having to go through this. Do you ladies need anything else? Would you rather have a soda? Is there anything I can do for you? And we got in the car, and I said, now, Mom, look at that. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, God has provided for us. And she was like, well, okay, but just don't ever tell your dad what we did. I was like, because, you know, she's preached hell hot to him forever. So see what I'm saying? To some people, that's not a deal. But to some of us, and listen, hey, if you know somebody's gone through AA and they've had alcohol problems, don't come up in your house and say, well, we drink wine. I'm going to be offended if you don't have some. You know, be smart. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes we can't all do the same things. But I found that the power of the light will keep at bay, not just the Antichrist till we're out, but the power of the light draws blood boundaries for us. That because we're covered by the blood, he calls it a fiery hedge of protection around us. And I believe that's the light. Because I believe that what we can't see in the darkness, in the spirit realm, God has actually put up boundaries where the enemy cannot come in. Well, I'm going to get it. I'm coming in. You're going to lose this. Well, this marriage is going to fail. You'll see. It's going to happen. And if you get in agreement with him, and not in agreement, stay in agreement with God and call out for prayer when you're weak and ask for help. And, you know, Lord, I'm falling here. I'm going down. If I'm starting to believe the darkness more than the light, guess whose light's going out? It's mine. And then the darkness can overtake. But here's the thing. The power of the light is going to blast the Antichrist. The power of light is going to come back and blast the Antichrist. And we read that scripture where he says he's going to come with a breath and with the light of his presence. And that's going to do two things. That actually means that when Jesus comes with that breath, it's going to be the breath of God. And the breath of God is a toxin to anything demonic. And not only is it going to kill it, but it talks about the light and his glory is just going to explode it. Like he's just going to explode. All these things are just going to go. I watched yesterday, you know, I love the weather app. So I'm watching this supernova that they watched for 2 days and it like imploded itself. And I thought, that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. The light was so bright and it got so orangey yellow and then it turned absolutely white and it never went out. It just went like, and it turned blue, and then it turned translucent, and there was nothing. And you know, that's what the devil is. He's nothing but a liar. He's nothing but accusations and a shadow dancer. But we have the power of the light to overcome that. So I want to leave you with this thought. God's forgiveness is not an act of mercy in response to religious acts of penitence. God does not have mercy on us because we go and beat our backs at Easter like some of these cults do to be like Jesus. God does not have mercy on you because you climb in a confessional and tell somebody all your sins and they tell you what to do to get rid of them. That's not what happens. Jesus satisfied the penalty and he bought our salvation with heaven's blood that we could not supply. And that is why the mercy and the grace of God is in effect. So when you're feeling really bad about yourself and you just can't get over something, you just need to say to yourself, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I'm telling you, I've been doing this, and guys, this is really helping me. When the thought comes in my mind, oh, this is fixing to happen, I say out loud, no, no. And when I do that, that thought leaves. Do you know why? Because I've learned through these scriptures in teaching you, I've eaten it first and learned that I have the breath of God in me. And when I say no, it dispels the darkness. And it doesn't matter if I'm fearful, if whatever's going on, I'll just say, no. Boom. And then it's like, oh. And then I hear the Lord say, then that won't be. Because I'm in agreement with him. So I want to encourage you. Whatever it is that you think that you need to do to have God's mercy and grace, Jesus has already done it. So you can just simply say, Jesus, feeling pretty bad about myself. I'm asking you to give me mercy. Withhold from me what I deserve because you paid the price. And I'm asking for grace. I want you to give me what I don't deserve because I need a little help down here. And I know I've done nothing to deserve it, but your word says I can have it and I want it. So here's what I see. The darkness wants to do the impossible. It wants to overtake what Jesus has done, and it can't. He's a liar. Darkness cannot overtake light. But here's a little something I wrote for you. We should grieve that we've learned the world's way and not back down because we aren't like them. We should be grieving where we've taken on the world's ways, but be determined not to back down from the fact that we don't want to be like that. I believe I can love all people. I believe that. But I can't get them into heaven even if I wanted to. So me being in agreement with everybody that they're good people isn't going to get them into heaven. That's going to have to be one-on-one with Jesus Christ. That's going to have to be believing his word for themselves. No more than I can come in and pray for my kids and they say, well, my mom's prayed for me all my life. I'm going to heaven. Grandma, man, she used to, you know, peel the paint off the walls praying. Guys, that's not what's going to do it. It's that every man will know him. And how will we lead people to the light? By love. Do you know that the three tests that the apostles had for people who were in docetism, to know those who were not teaching the principles that they were Antichrist teachers, they had a threefold test. One was they knew their ethics of that teacher. What were their ethics? The second thing was, did they believe that Jesus came as a man from God? And the third thing was love. Where was the love in their life? I want to tell you, he is wanting us to walk in love, but to walk in truth. And the truth is, I got to get over me to get to Jesus. I don't need to be telling anybody else how to do it. Right? But my life should be encouraging people to want to know him because I found forgiveness and not criticism and judgment. Because I found hope and not fear and doubt. And because when I do it his way, I don't have nearly as many scars as when I try to tell him how it needs to be done. And that's how I know I love him.
Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with me tonight? I think Annette Langford used to say this. Doesn't need to be my way, but Yahweh. Not my way, but Yahweh. And I want to tell you, God is leading us tonight to be a people who believe that we are in love with God and that he is in love with us. You're not going to be deceived. You're not going to be deceived if you're following after him. He'll bring truth to you because he loves you. And he'll never let you be left out. Let's just pray right now. Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. I want to thank you, God, that there were men who were so in love with you and had been so loved by you, God. Men and women that their stories are recorded for us to learn. God, I pray right now for those who are being deceived willfully. I pray, God, that you would let them have a Holy Spirit experience, God. Lord, that you would move in their lives. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, this dark world, God, help us, Lord, to be the light. I don't need to be a beacon, but I definitely need to have a flame. I want to be so on fire for you, God. I want to be so in tune with you, God, that I save myself and those around me from stupidity and from deceit. Help us, Lord, to be leading people to a cross and to an empty tomb where every price has been paid and not believing, God, that I can do it because of ritual or penitence, or even self-hatred. Let me love and be loved by you, God. And I thank you for that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.